Hello, everybody. I bet many of you will resonate with what I'm covering today. As family members, as loved ones, as professionals or neighbors or a concerned leader in your faith congregation, I could have said what I'm about to say 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I could have cited it 2 years ago, last month, even last week. In my heart of hearts, I know that I will soon find myself citing it again. People have the right to make poor decisions. People have the right to make poor decisions. This statement, this fact to me is one of the saddest elements in healthcare that I encounter. Today I'm going to speak to that and follow up with our power and what we can do when we are confronted by this sad fact. I cannot tell you how many times a year or a month that a concerned loved one, an adult child, a neighbor, or a faith leader calls me with a scenario that portrays this sad fact. As a professional in elder care, I know enough to realize that many of these scenarios may not end up well. My antenna go up for the patient and the medical and psychosocial dynamics that are at play here. As a professional, I'm charged with seeing all perspectives in order to skillfully enter the dynamic and help, whether it's a single party or a group. Help them to begin to avoid risk and to head for remedy. It is, in clinical terms, a toughie. Here's a typical scenario. All too typical, but demonstrative of this fact. There's injury, and there's fears, and there's logic. There's well-meaning, and a roller coaster of emotions along with it. Michelle, an adult child calls me with concerns about the health and housing situation of her parents, ages 89 and 92. She may have one or two siblings, one local, one out of state. While they are said to share varying degrees of concern for and responsibility for the elderly parents, Michelle has picked up the phone. She speaks fondly of her parents, who are caregivers for each other. Their mother has fallen on more than one occasion, and the EMS has been called multiple times. The falls have resulted in some bruises and once a cut to the head that resulted in her transport to the ER. With her parents living in a rural area, many times the EMS simply arrives to help mom get up because we know that dad can't help mom get up safely. Mom then promises to be very, very careful. From what she knows, Michelle's parents have a few plans in place, some legal planning, but no real team assembled or circle of care has ever been built. With her parents' rural lifestyle, few eyes are upon them, less now that they no longer go out to church, but rather they view it on TV. No, they hadn't really told their doctor. There's really no one to look ahead, no planning for if this, then that. If there's been no look ahead, then we can presume that there's been no conversation either. Michelle and her siblings, and no doubt their parents, to some degree, are all aware of a ticking time bomb. What to do when everyone is aware of a ticking time bomb? Plenty of folks call me about what to do. What can you do about this, they ask me. What can an adult child, loved one, or a neighbor do? This is in-your-face vulnerability manifesting before everyone. Sometimes the strategy or plan becomes waiting until there is a fall with an injury, resulting in a trip to the hospital. Transport and further evaluation can lead to another assessment or create a time to garner direction from a medical professional. Where there was no buy-in before, there might be now. Sometimes these situations are scary or serious enough for a reticent healthcare agent or proxy to step into their role or to bring a family or a unit together with or on behalf of the patient. a disclaimer of sorts. You may notice my use of the term family is often quickly followed up by loved ones. Many people have no family. Plenty of solo agers have no built-in folks that are there at the ready to be responders or caregivers. We have no Michelle. The good news is that we solo agers, you know, I'm one, we get to choose our family, assemble our team, but we will all have similar occasion when we're going to need that team. The one we built, the one we assembled, the one we developed relationships with, and with whom we've shared our wishes. Times like Michelle and her family are encountering can be painful and fearful. We all see and hear the ticking time bomb, and the elephant in the room trumpets as it obscures our view of solution. Whenever we find ourselves waiting for the other shoe to fall, somebody ends up worse and with fewer options and greater complication and expense and absolutely with less power. We can all have a say about how things will go and where we'll end up. In these kinds of situations, I love this phrase. We can all have a say about how things will go and where we'll end up. Not only is it simple, it's true. This is where I want to live. Hear me when I repeat it as I counsel and teach and speak. I'm all about empowering and the importance of looking ahead and learning from the past, you know, so that we can help those that come along behind us. People change when they have to, not when they get to. Many times, change doesn't happen until there is pain, pants on fire. So often people change when they have to, not when they get to. Being able to is a right and a luxury. Me, I want to use what I know to help those other people to enter difficult change. Sometimes it's me being a consultant or a coach or a sounding board, but I got to confess, so many times I want desperately to place a firm hand on each of someone's shoulders and stare them squarely in the eye and tell them they have to consider what I'm saying now if they want things to get better. Do we want things to get worse? I'm in the business of looking ahead on your behalf. I'm also in the business of looking back and learning from it. I've seen my share of debacle and I've felt it too. Sometimes in my conversations or marketing speak, I'll talk about bringing the 500 families. The 500 families I've helped along the way with me to help you. Of the 500 families, I'll bet 300 called me when their pants were on fire. 150 likely called when they began to notice some change. And 50 called when there was absolutely nothing left to do that would help. People delay, and there comes a time when no actions remain that could positively improve the outcome. The patient ends up with worsened situations, fewer options, little remaining power. There's definitely more cost. Perhaps you can find a negative motivator in all of that, but I like to move toward action and solution. You know, my own family has been among those 500 families. There had been some planning, however, we were still caught up in the pitfalls, the missed opportunities, the missed handoffs of healthcare. I wanted to fix everything. When the changes came and the struggles too, I remember that feeling in the pit of my stomach. I recall thinking to myself, I would not wish this stuff on anyone. As we plowed through the how and gained information that could benefit our outcomes, I made it my business to do the very best I can to never have anyone feel the way I felt. I made a clinical term for that. That feeling is called "Arr!" Out of the problem and into the solution. A large part of my message today is that you do have power. We can step out of the problem and into the solution. Y'all know that that's where Nancy likes to live. A great deal of relief and motivation can be found by being in action, by pursuing solution. We don't have to let fear rule, because there truly are a lot of people who wish to make themselves available to assist. Education is key, yes, but so is communication. We have to enable that. Those of you who know me know that I'm continually acknowledging the importance of talking. I may quote catchy phrases or the website, talk early, talk often, because I'm trying to turn your head. I lecture on crafty lead-ins to difficult conversations, or I blog about fudge, the emotions of caregiving, fear, uncertainty, doubt, guilt, and exhaustion. I've written about them each and all in my blogs, and how we begin to climb out lest they keep us in quagmire. People have the right to make poor decisions. It's agonizing to watch. And my heart goes out to the loved ones or concerned parties that are calling me. I suppose I've seen it enough to become a bit resigned in the fact that it does occur, and I will soon get another call, another Michelle by a different name. Rather than become disillusioned by it or hardened by it, I can gather that 500 families and I can strengthen my resolve to be here for the people that need me. So, let's have the conversation. You know, that was my tagline between 2013 and 2017-ish. Have the conversation. In fact, have lots of conversations to become used to them, to get used to yourself inside one or the other team members. Normalize conversations, check-ins, and divide up the to-dos. Get more information about the situation, about possible options, and possibly who could do what. Keep having conversations. They do become more comfortable with repetition. And you can add this next one. Add celebration. Even if you've only arrived and assembled for the very first meeting, that is a reason to collect a W, to declare a win. Or that you made it through the first one. Or that they are becoming easier, or creating unification, or perhaps growing a sense of purpose. Result your meetings in a living plan. You know, they say, plan your work, work your plan. Report back. Alter the plan to suit the in-motion activity. Move that marker. The marker. That brings to mind a great sports analogy, and right now this one seems fitting. The goal is not about crossing the goal line. The goal is to move the chain incrementally up the field until you do. We have to look at the whole game. Expect to use some offense, some defense. Expect timeouts and half times. Those are good for adjustments. There'll be distractions, delay of game, flags thrown, inclement weather. I'll bet there will be somebody up in the press box seeing the big picture and coaching those on the team and the sidelines. Your teammates will be nearby warming up to get ready for their entry into the game. There will be some great plays, and there will be some fumbles. A play is made, the chains come out, and we advance the ball up the field, sometimes earning a first down or completing that yards-long pass. People do have the right to make poor decisions. It's hard to watch. Heck, it's hard to be the one inside the decision. It's hard to watch knowing that options and choices of today may not be there tomorrow. As you and yours make your way up the field, there's a lot that you and I can do to move that ball for yourself or for someone you love. Let me know if I can help.